So let me ask you, is everyone on U.S. soil, citizens and non-citizens, entitled to due process?
Yes, of course. But let me tell you, it looks in immigration standing, the laws are very specific. If you're in this country unlawfully, you have no right to be here and you must be removed.
But how do we know you're in this country unlawfully without due process? Marco Rubio.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Seems kind of simple.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Unless you're in bad faith.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am. Stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest, and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, up in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK. Yeah, it's election year in Virginia. Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Your mileage may vary. Welcome to the Bradcast. We are approaching the generally meaningless landmark of Donald J. Trump's first 100 days in office in his second term. And while the landmark is generally meaningless, it's also used by many in the media, in the public, by presidents themselves in the modern day, in modern era, at least since FDR, as a milestone, a yardstick by which to judge success and or failure of an incoming presidential administration. And to that end, I am hoping, at least, to open up the phone lines to listeners here in a little bit to get your assessment of this presidency so far as we approach the 100-day milestone this week. As usual, we're especially interested in hearing from those who supported Trump last year on Election Day to take your temperature on how you're feeling about how things are going right now. Is this all what you voted for? Is this what you hoped for last year? Are you disappointed? Are you delighted? Are you confused? 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Also, of course, we're happy to hear from folks who voted against Trump last year. Have things worked out worse or better than you thought? Or is this just about what you expected last year when you voted against Donald Trump? I mean, folks like us warning of his plans for an autocratic takeover, which, at least as I see it, and apparently much of the public as well, as we'll try to get to in a little bit, seem to see it the same way. As nonetheless, he continues to move ahead at an alarming, if not surprising, pace with his attempted fascist takeover, his hostile takeover, his autocratic takeover. Got any other words for it, Desi Doyen?
No, actually, I think somebody called it a hostile government takeover. Yeah. But yes, an autocratic, an authoritarian, one might even go as far as to say a fascist takeover. And that is generally, as I understand it from authoritarian researchers, that they say that moving fast and breaking things quickly is how authoritarians gain power.
Which is why we are pushing back hard whenever and however we can against what is being done and helping you to understand what is being done in your name, at least in your country's name, how you can push back. But, you know, to me, this has always been sort of an information war, a disinformation war, unfortunately, which has won the day over the past several, well, arguably years, but certainly past several months, helping Donald Trump to get elected in the first place. We are trying to push back in that information war day in and day out here on the broadcast. And that said, much of Donald Trump's plans are also failing. Bigly being met with protests on the street and largely successful legal challenges in the court. So we are taking your temperature on Trump nearing 100 days at 818-985-5735. If you are in our live Southern California listening area or you're listening anywhere around the world, live on the web via kpfk.org's web stream, 818-985-KPFK. I'll also note that we are in Fun Drive here at KPFK, my local Pacifica radio flagship station in Los Angeles. So if you want to join me on air, hit number one when you dial in. Otherwise, if you would like to help me and this station and the Pacifica Radio Network continue to face down autocracy and fascism without here oversight of corporate control, corporate interests telling me what to do. Well, in that case, you can hit number two when you dial in and make a donation of any amount you can afford. That, too, is greatly appreciated and very much needed right now, particularly what I see as a very dangerous, very clearly unsettling moment, to say the least, in U.S. history. When we spoke with you last week, we were focused late last week on the Trump administration's assault on civil rights across a number of spaces in the federal government, most keenly in our Thursday program, the broad swath of layoffs at the EPA's Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights, with my guest on that show last Thursday, Joyce Howell, a 30-year EPA veteran and union vice president, by the way, who, despite still serving at the EPA, at least as of last week, had the courage to join us on this program herself and speak out about what she is seeing, to discuss the importance of environmental justice and the damage being wrought by the Trump administration and their closure of that office at EPA to the minority communities that are most affected and most physically sickened and or killed by years-long exposure to toxic chemical plants and oil refineries. If you missed my interview with Joyce Howell on that, you can, of course, download it anytime for free, as always, at bradblog.com. But in the rest of the program, we also focused on a number of civil rights issues amid the chaos of this new Trump administration, including on that day alone, on Thursday, when we last spoke, losses for the Trump administration in three different federal courts by three different federal judges, including one of them who was a Trump appointee from his first term, relating to the administration's attempt to gut government anti-discrimination programs, which the Trump administration and Fox News Republicans like to deride as DEI, and to threaten even elementary schools, K through 12 schools around the country who refuse to do the same, who say, no, we're going to stick with the anti-discrimination programs. Oh, are you? Well, then we're going to defund you, says the Trump administration. Oh, are you going to defund us? Well, then we will sue you, say a number of parties who were successful so far in those suits last week. Another case where Trump also lost in court on that same day regarded his efforts to mandate proof of citizenship during voter registration, which was struck down by a court so far, finding that unlike Congress and largely the states, the president, the executive branch, has no constitutional role in setting rules for federal and state election. So Donald Trump could put out whatever he wants to say on his executive orders, but he actually has no authority, no legal authority, no constitutional authority to put these new mandates, these new requirements in place for registering to vote in our elections. Another attack on American civil rights, happily one that has been lost, at least for the moment, by this administration. On that same day, several outlets reported what NBC News quoted one official as describing as a bloodbath at the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division, which is tasked with enforcing federal laws that prohibit discrimination in hiring, in housing, and in voting rights, as more than a dozen longtime senior officials were summarily dismissed from their important roles at the DOJ, at the Civil Rights Division, as the Trump administration is attempting to turn the DOJ Civil Rights Section upside down, abandoning cases of discrimination against minorities and focusing instead on fighting what they describe as discriminatory protections for trans student athletes. That's right. It's discriminatory to somehow protect trans student athletes. And of course, the epidemic of anti-Christian bias in these United States, according to the Trump administration's DOJ.
They're really focused on all the really big, big topics.
Yeah. Well, the Christians have it hard these days, especially the white ones. So, yeah, that's what they're doing. But on the point of the destruction at the DOJ's voting rights section specifically, since it's an area that we have covered continuously and very closely on this program for the past two decades or so by now, we have a few more details today from The Guardian that I do want to share with you today. Donald Trump's appointees at the Department of Justice have removed all senior civil servants now who were working as managers in the department's voting section and directed attorneys to dismiss all active cases there. That, according to people familiar with the matter, part of a broader attack on the department's civil rights division, as The Guardian describes it. The moves come less than a month after Trump ally Harmeet Dhillon, a right-wing culture warrior who served as a lawyer in Trump's 2020 Stop the Steal scam, just after she was confirmed to lead the Civil Rights Division, which was created in 1957. It's been referred to as the crown jewel of the Justice Department. Dhillon, in an unusual move, sent out new mission statements to the department sections that made it clear the Civil Rights Division was shifting its focus from protecting the civil rights of marginalized people to supporting Trump's personal priorities. Tamar Hagler, the chief of the voting section, which is responsible for enforcing federal laws designed to prevent voter discrimination, and five top career managers were all reassigned last week to the Complaint Adjudication Office, a little-known part of the department that handles employee complaints. That, according to people familiar with the matter, a career line attorney in the section has also been reassigned to that Complaint Adjudication Office instead of to the civil rights beat, the voting rights beat, specifically that they have been on all of them for years. Is that what you voted for? Is that what you wanted when you voted for Donald Trump last November? The voting section had seven managers in January, overseeing around 30 attorneys. Of the two other managers there, one retired and another was detailed to work on an anti-Semitism task force. So who was left to oversee discrimination in voting cases at the DOJ? Well, as you know, they have since 1957, since the passage of the landmark Voting Rights Act in 1965. Apparently no one is there to prosecute such cases. Political appointees, The Guardian's Sam Levine reports, instructed career employees to dismiss all of their active cases without even meeting with those employees to understand the cases. Taken together, the changes have raised significant alarm about the future of voting rights enforcement and what that will look like for the federal government at a moment when Republican-controlled states continue to pass more and more restrictive voting measures to try to keep themselves in power. Measures that are often in violation of federal law, of the Constitution. But hey, if a tree falls in the forest, or at least if a voting rights pro- protection bid is gutted by the state and there's nobody there to see it or at least to prosecute it, to stop it, well, welcome to 2025 Trump world. All of this also raises concerns about future political interference, writes The Guardian. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division has long had resources and credibility that private plaintiffs cannot match. And much of that reputation is driven by the fact that the day-to-day work is carried out not by partisans, not by political operatives, but by career staff whose work is supposed to be apolitical. When I spoke with Joyce Howell last week about the similar cuts, even worse, they laid off some 400 people at the EPA's Environmental Justice and Civil Rights Unit. I said, well, how did you survive? Because she's been there at the EPA for 30 years. How did you survive the first Trump administration? She said, well, basically, we all just keep our heads down. We do the work. We expect that things are going to change from administration to administration, that priorities are going to change somewhat, but they'll still be, you know, basically in the same ballpark. And we just committed ourselves to that work. Now, she says, it is something very different. They are coming in and they are just removing staff wholesale. Hundreds of people, top employees, people who have been there for years with, knowledge, institutional knowledge that is being lost, whether it's at the environmental justice section of the EPA or now at the voting rights section of the Department of Justice.
Yeah, and that is part of the cuts. I mean, you can say, oh, well, they're not actually eliminating that office. All they're doing is depopulating it and defunding it so that it cannot do its work. And specifically for the Environmental Justice Office, Joyce Howell was lamenting the fact that there were scientists, hundreds of scientists there at the EPA who were doing original research,
yep,
not duplicated anywhere else,
yep,
that are also looking after children's environmental health. She said, we're the only people, the only division in the entire federal government that looks after children's environmental health, and they have all been fired.
Is that what you voted for? Trump supporters, or at least people who opposed Kamala Harris last year? 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. I would like to hear from you. Because I know we had a lot of people calling in prior to the election supporting Donald Trump. Which is fine. We talk to them. We like to talk to you. But how are you feeling about that now? A former Justice Department employee told The Guardian, quote, the career managers at the DOJ Voting Rights Unit established norms and standards and made sure that the section spoke consistently over time with one voice. That is destroyed by gutting all the career managers. The voting section dismissed its last live case on Monday. A challenge under the Voting Rights Act to how the city of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, elects its city council. In March, it also dismissed a similar case in Houston County, Georgia. The changes are part of a larger wave of about a dozen reassignments of senior personnel in the Civil Rights Division this week. Reassigning the most experienced managers to low-level duties appears to be an overt push to crush morale, make it clear management is not going to bring civil rights enforcement cases, and get lawyers to accept the administration's so-called deferred resignation, offered to leave the department entirely. Quote, this is what you do when you just want to create chaos, said a former voting section attorney. It's extremely clear that the intent is to get absolutely nothing done, and the effect will be that absolutely nothing gets done. Well, something will get done. People will lose their rights. People will lose their right to vote, and there will be nobody, at least in the federal government, there to fight for them. Cleta Mitchell, a Trump ally who aided Trump's effort to try and overthrow the 2020 election, has called for mass firings in the Civil Rights Division. She said, quote, every lawyer in the voting section and likely in the Civil Rights Division needs to be terminated. That's what she wrote on a social media post just after the election. They are not supportive of President Trump or MAGA. These are left-wing activists who have come from and should return to their left-wing organizations, she said. Mitchell was, luckily for her, not prosecuted by DOJ for some reason during the Biden administration or by the state of Georgia for her personal participation in that notorious phone call when Trump strong-armed the Secretary of State of Georgia to, quote, find the 11,000 plus votes that Trump needed to steal the state from Joe Biden back in 2020. Cleta Mitchell participated in that crime. She was not punished for it. Now she wants to, oh, what do you know, lay off all of the attorneys at the voting rights office in at the DOJ. Well, no wonder. Maybe they would come to their senses and go after you, Cleta. Removing the career managers is now a hugely consequential decision in the Justice Department. They also handle hirings. While there's a current freeze on hirings, removing the career managers paves the way for politicized hiring and, quote, partisan and ideological capture of an agency that's supposed to be nonpartisan, according to a former department employee. Even if you, quote, don't think that some claims should have been brought, it's not plausible that every case in the hopper is unmerited by any interpretation of the rules, said Justin Levitt, a former top official in the Civil Rights Division during the Obama administration. He's also been a guest on this program over the years. He says an instruction to drop a case without an explanation of why is just a decision to refuse to enforce the law. Apparently, they didn't even look at these cases they were dropping. They just ordered them all dropped. Normally, when a new administration comes in, they might have a meeting with the attorneys who are managing ongoing cases, decide which ones they want to continue, which ones they want to change sides on, etc. Here, the attorneys that the folks at the voting rights section that Sam Levine pointed to or spoke to said they didn't even ask what these cases were about. They didn't even talk to them about it. They just said, hey, cancel those cases. We don't care about that sort of thing anymore. Because the Trump administration, despite Trump's claims about enforcing the rule of law against everyone apparently except him, has actually no interest in enforcing the rule of law. None. And especially when it comes to things like voting rights for those, you know, they think may be disinclined, especially those who may be disinclined to vote against Republicans. Take away their rights, follow the rule of law. Why bother? It will be, according to former officials, very difficult to put Humpty Dumpty back together again once Democrats eventually retake the White House and are tasked with rebuilding everything from the ruins of the Trump presidency, especially over at the Department of Justice and everywhere else. So we will now hope, in the meantime, that private plaintiffs and civil rights and voting rights groups will be able to step up to take on these assaults to the very democracy that Trump and friends have exploited to put themselves into positions of power, to then tear down those very protections at the critical federal level. Is this what those of you who voted for Trump last year we're voting for? We opened up at least one of our shows specifically to callers who had voted for Democrats in previous years but decided to vote for Donald Trump last November. I asked them why. They explained. Some of them had good reasons. Some of them, weren't great reasons, but we talked about it. Is this what y'all were hoping for? Are you happy about all this? Have you come to regret that vote? If you're in any of those camps, I would love to hear from you today at 818-985-5735. Since I vowed to continue, since Trump's election, to keep our lines open to listeners as much as possible, because I think that we got to keep the lines of communication open to everyone, and especially between those who I believe were actually hoaxed last year and disinformed last year and in the years prior into supporting Donald Trump. the communication between those folks and those of us who tried to warn about the nightmares that the country and our world would soon be facing because of it and, well, that we are now facing. And speaking of turning the rule of law upside down, the escalating fight between Donald Trump and the judiciary took a new form on Friday, as the Washington Post reported it, after weeks of mounting questions about whether Trump was defying court orders. The administration arrested a Wisconsin judge, and accused her of helping a Mexican immigrant evade arrest by federal agents. Officers handcuffed Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan in public. That, by way of contrast with Donald Trump, when he was arrested on federal charges in two separate felony cases that have since been dismissed following his election because the Trump-captured Supreme Court has determined that the sitting presidents cannot face criminal indictments. But following the public arrest and handcuffing of a judge, Trump's Attorney General Pam Bondi bragged about it on Fox News, about the administration's willingness to go after judges who, quote, think that they're above the law. The FBI director, Kash Patel, he began the day by announcing Dugan's arrest on social media and ended by posting a photo of agents leading her away in handcuffs, which is completely in defiance of the DOJ's guidelines that have been in place for years to assure that the DOJ itself does not bias the public or a jury pool in their own cases. The case, by the way, against Judge Dugan, as Marcy Wheeler explained at Empty Wheel over the weekend, appears to have a whole lot of problems with it. But whether charges are dismissed months or years down the road against Judge Dugan, that hardly seems to matter. She is to be made an example of. The clash between the administration and the judiciary has perhaps been the starkest in the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, who was wrongly deported by the administration's own admission to a mega prison in El Salvador last month, despite a 2019 order saying that he could not be sent to that country. The Supreme Court ruled that the administration must facilitate his return. That would be the Trump-corrupted Supreme Court said, sorry, Trump administration, you got to bring this guy back. You must facilitate his return to the U.S. Nonetheless, the administration has not done so, arguing it's powerless to do so. Abrego Garcia must stay there. He's got to stay in foreign custody where he was sent a month and a half ago to a gulag with gang members that he was trying to flee in the first place when he came to the United States back in 2019. But in case judges haven't gotten the message, well, they're going to start arresting them, apparently. As Indiana University law professor Charles Gay, who studies judicial conduct, said, Dugan's arrest must be viewed, Judge Dugan, in the broader context of these Trump administrations with the court system. He called the arrest of Dugan part of a pattern, quote, an attempt to bludgeon, an attempt to coerce, an attempt to weaken the one branch of government that stands between the executive, the Trump administration, and it doing whatever it wishes to do. He said these fall into the category of backing the judiciary up against the wall and saying, hey, nice court system you got there. I'd hate to see something happen to it. 818-985-KPFK. As the Post notes, rather than allow Dugan to surrender to authorities, which is routinely offered to defendants who are not deemed to be a flight risk, federal authorities arrested her at the courthouse in public and then posted photos of it. Zeke Huck, a constitutional scholar at the University of Chicago Law School, said, quote, it's wildly implausible for the administration to say it's equally applying the law after Trump granted clemency to people convicted of violent crimes, including assaulting police officers during the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Does the law really apply to anyone? Is no one above the law, as Pam Bondi has loved in recent days to go on Fox News claiming? Well, apparently you're above the law if you try to kill a police officer in the name of Donald Trump trying to steal an election. But making Dugin's arrest a spectacle, said Hook, appeared to be the goal here. Quote, there is kind of performative sheen or a performative element to the policy that is not just about the fact of quashing opposition wherever it may be found, he said, but also demonstrating the facts of that quashing through the overt and open humiliation of the persons involved. So anybody out there in our listening, live listening area today want to defend that? I'll put you right up at the top. Anyone want to concede how wrong and appalling all of this is? 818-985-KPFK. I'd love to hear from you. And before we get to a break and some of your calls, if American judges are going to be publicly brought to heel with criminal charges for supposedly aiding and abetting an undocumented immigrant, well, what chance do immigrant families themselves have even when their children are known to be U.S. citizens? Three U.S. citizen children from two different families were deported along with their mothers, by immigration and customs enforcement during the early hours of Friday morning. One of them is a four-year-old with stage four cancer, a U.S. citizen who was sent away without medication or the ability to contact the doctors or anyone else, according to the family's lawyer. According to their lawyers, both families, it was two different families, were taken into custody while attending routine check-ins this week in New Orleans as part of the Intensive Supervision Appearance Program, which allows individuals to remain in their communities while they're undergoing the immigration proceedings. In other words, they were doing what they were supposed to do according to our immigration laws. And the thanks that they received was that they were handcuffed and sent out of the country with their children, one of whom is 4 years old with stage four cancer. The families were apparently put on a three-hour drive from New Orleans. They were prevented from communicating with their family members and legal representation, and then they were put on a flight to Honduras. Apparently, they were given 1 minute. The mother, I think, of the one of the two-year-olds, given 1 minute to speak with the father of that two-year-old before an ICE person came on the line and ended the call. Didn't even get to talk to their own attorneys. Hours after that deportation, U.S. District Judge Terry Doughty, who is a Trump appointee, one of the really, really, really Trumpy Trump appointees, whose court the federal government apparently wanted to end up in with these cases, issued an order expressing his concern that the girl had been deported against her father's wishes, while stressing that it is, quote, illegal and unconstitutional to deport U.S. citizens. He said the government contends that this is all okay because the mother wishes that the child be deported with her, according to Doughty. But he says the court does not know that. Why can't the court know that? Well, because neither the mother nor the father apparently had the chance to argue their case before the judge, even the very, very Trumpy one. In fact, they were not even allowed to speak with their own attorneys before being put on a plane and sent to Honduras. Judge Doughty has since set a May 16 court hearing to investigate his, quote, strong suspicion that the government just deported a U.S. citizen with no meaningful process. According to court filings, the girl had accompanied her mother and 11-year-old sister to the immigration appointment in New Orleans last Tuesday. About an hour later, her father, who had driven the family into New Orleans for the meeting, received a call informing him that the family had been taken into custody. That night, the girl's father was allowed to speak with her mother for only 1 minute before an ICE agent ended the call. Lawyers say the man did not get the chance to speak to his partner or U.S. citizen child again until they were released in Honduras. Quote, both of these mothers were held without the ability to speak with their co-parents and the guardians of their children while making this incredibly personal and difficult assessment about what was best for their children, said Gracie Willis, the lawyer for the two-year-old's father. She said, quote, "We have absolutely no idea whether the mothers ever actually did give consent for their children to come with them, or if they did, under what kind of duress they did so and what other options were presented to them." In other words, that's not due process. Now, I don't have time because a lot of folks are calling in here at 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735 to respond to all of this. I don't know if any of them are courageous folks who voted for Trump in the past, last November, or voted against Kamala Harris, maybe didn't vote at all, maybe voted for a third party who now regret that vote. I don't know. At 100 days. But I would like to hear from you if you are out there. And I know that a lot of you are out there because I've been reading the polls. And I was hoping to get to some of those in the next part of the show, but I'm going to try to go to callers instead. 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. Hit option number one. So I don't have time to play this, but I just want to underscore this point before we go to the break, which is Marco Rubio was on Meet the Press on Sunday. And he was asked about due process. Will all U.S. citizens and non-U.S. citizens get due process if they are on U.S. soil? He said, yes, of course, everybody must get due process. But if you're an illegal alien, as he called you, as he described it, then you must be shipped out. But how do you know if they are an unlawful, undocumented migrant if they have not received due process? The woman who hosts the show, Meet the Press, Kristen Welker. Yeah, she didn't ask. She didn't follow that up. So we don't know. But yeah, sure, you should have due process unless you're an illegal alien and then you got to go. Well, how do we know you're an illegal alien? Well, somebody just says so and ships you out to Honduras with your four-year-old who has stage four cancer. See you later. What about due process? Well, no due process. Illegal alien. Bye. What? I thought everybody got due process. Nope. Well, yep. Incoherent and cruel. And, of course, the cruelty is often the point with these people. 818-985-5735 is my phone number. Hit button number one to join us on the air. Because I know there is a whole bunch of folks out there who voted for Trump last November who are clearly regretting those votes today. At least if you stop to notice the flood of polling on Trump's first 100 days that have been published over the last few days, and they are horrible for him from top to bottom. We'll talk a little bit about some of that and take some of your calls right after this. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Yes, Donald Trump's approval numbers are going down, 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 way down to an historic low for the first 100 days for any president since polling like this began back in the FDR era. I can go into some of the details. I got a lot of them here, but I'd also love to hear from you. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Marlene in Valley Village. Marlene, welcome.
Hey.
There we go.
Do I got you? Good.
Hey, Marlene, do I have you there?
You do. You do. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Marlene. Welcome to the Bradcast. What's going on?
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to say I voted third party, and I really appreciate, though, the people that voted for Harris and took one for the team. But, like, with the DNC convention, I mean, I guess when Oprah came up there and she said, "I feel joy, I feel joy," I'm thinking, what the F? You know, there's not a lot of people out here working paycheck to paycheck feeling joy, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Marlene. Are you feeling more joy now than you were 6 months ago when they were talking about joy on Oprah?
No. I mean, I was optimistic. I mean, I was hoping she'd make it. But when she was on The View and they asked her, you know, if you change your mind on anything and 40,000 are dead in Gaza, and she said no. I mean, just such a turnoff.
And how about Donald Trump's policy on Gaza and on Ukraine? Do you like it better?
Horrible. No, of course not. Worse. I mean, like I say, I appreciate the people in the swing states where the votes counted. I really appreciate those people voting for Harris, who did not want to, but they did.
And had you been in a battleground state, would you have voted for Kamala Harris last year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks,
definitely.
Marlene. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, Brad.
I really do.
Okay.
I appreciate you reaching out. 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. Let me go to Larry.
Hang on a second. I got to make sure she's cut off first.
Oh, did I screw? I still don't know how to operate this phone system, you know.
There you go.
I've only been on the air here 20 years. I don't have a clue. Let me go to Larry in San Pedro. Hey, Larry, welcome to the Bradcast, sir. I know you've been holding for a while. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Brad. So, Brad, if Donald Trump succeeds in crashing Social Security, we've got 80-year-old men and women, 90-year-old men and women, 100-year-old men and women who will not be able to eat because they won't have the funds to go.
Yep. Oh, did we lose? I think somehow we just and I didn't do it. Actually, we lost a whole bunch of calls, didn't we?
Wow, it does look like the entire phone system just blinked out on us.
It did. Please call us back.
Wow.
Sorry about that, Larry. And at least he got his, I think, the main portion of his point in.
Yes.
That they are, you know, if the Doge bros and Elon Musk and Donald Trump get what they want, get what they are after, there's going to be a whole bunch of, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100-year-olds who aren't going to be able to eat. But there's also going to be a whole bunch of people who are, young people who with disabilities who aren't going to be able to eat either, who aren't going to be able to go to school, who aren't going to be able to get treatment. All of that. 818-985-KPFK. I'm sorry that our phone lines just crashed out on us.
Very
I know a lot
strange.
Of people were waiting.
But
give us a call back. We're going to hopefully it regenerates here.
Yes, please call us back at 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Remember, hit option number 1 to get on the air. But I wanted to point out something else. Remember, they have the Trump administration has also cut Meals for Wheels funding, which to me is just one of those things that it's who cannot love Meals for Wheels, which is a volunteer.
Meals on Wheels.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Meals for Wheels.
Meals
on Wheels. My apologies. Meals on Wheels.
Yep.
They cut the funding for Meals on Wheels, and that, I think, is just crazy cruelty.
Well, there is.
Makes no sense.
All of this is crazy cruelty, and all of this is wildly unpopular, but he is doing it anyway. Which is why his numbers keep going down, down, down on everything, even on things like immigration, which is supposed to be his best, major issue and is his best number in this new poll. This one from Washington Post, ABC News, Ipsos. We've been seeing a lot of these over the past few days as we're getting near the 100 days mark. By 22 points, Americans believe Trump's
economic policies have made the country's economy worse, not better. But on immigration, his best major issue in the poll, 53% disapprove of the job he's doing, with 46, just 46 approving. That's a 7-point gap. And that is his best issue. On every single issue, he is failing, at least in the eyes of the American people. At least in a majority, in the eyes of a majority of American people. Managing the federal government, Americans disapprove of the job Donald Trump is doing by 15 points. Is Trump looking out for the interests of average Americans? You know, the forgotten working folks that supposedly elected him. Well, 58% of the country does not think so. Just 41% think he is looking out for the interests of average Americans. For a margin of failure of 17 points. 61% disapprove of his handling of U.S. relations with other countries. That equates to a 23-point difference between disapprove and approve. 23 points. 64% oppose his tariffs on imported goods. Just 34%, for some reason, approve of those tariffs. 64 to 34, a 30-point gap. He is 30 points underwater when it comes to his signature policy of imposing tariffs, taxes, on the world. And when it comes to his handling of the recent turmoil in the stock market, 67% believe he has failed. There, it's a 36-point margin between that and the 31% who approve of Trump's policies in the stock market. Americans oppose his expansion of the presidency itself by 35 points. They oppose closing federal agencies, as we have been discussing today and for weeks on end now over these past 100 days or so. They oppose that by 27 points. When it comes to laying off government employees, 56% of Americans think he has gone too far. Just 32% thinks he is handling it just about right. That's a gap of 16 points against his policies to end efforts to increase diversity in the government and private workforce. And when it comes to deporting undocumented immigrants, well, the main thing that he says he was elected for, well, there's a 14-point gap against him, a 14-point gap between those who think he's going too far and those who think he is handling it just about right. Most people are opposed. On every single item in this poll from Washington Post, ABC News, and Ipsos. And it's not the only poll. This is from every major poll that we've seen over the past several days. New York Times, AP, CNN, all find the same thing in poll after poll, on issue after issue. In the New York Times poll, 76% disapprove of the way that Trump was handling the economy. 76%. In the most recent polls, his approval rating is about 39%, period, for his overall approval rating. That's it, 39%. And yet, oh, he's got a mandate, right? He can do anything he wants, right? And obviously, he can't. Obviously, the numbers are falling over a cliff. That means numbers of people who supported him before no longer do, at least not on these issues, at least not on every issue, at least not on issue after issue after issue. Anyway, that's why I had hoped to talk to some Republicans to see how they felt about all of this. If not Republicans, then people who did not vote for Donald Trump. I'm glad we got in one or two calls before the phone lines crashed. Any sign they are the phone lines are rebuilding in there, Desiree?
Not yet. Okay. We are still working on trying to figure out what caused the system to crash in the first place and trying to reset it. So.
Okay.
Keep trying, folks.
Good luck.
We're doing our best.
Good luck. That's all right. We've only got a few minutes left anyway. Give us a call. I hope that hasn't affected calls into the fund drive room, but we will see. 818-985-KPFK. obviously, we need a better phone system that doesn't collapse, so we could use your support there. anyway, but I will read, since we don't have live Republican callers regretting their votes at the 100-day mark, I can share some from, and this is where this all sort of came into my brain, from a BuzzFeed over the weekend. Where they write, we're officially 3 months into the Trump administration, and the leopards have already eaten so many faces.
You may need to explain that.
That, of course, I will, is a reference back to, I think Adrian Bott was the person who tweeted this originally many years ago, back in 2015, who said, quote, "I never thought leopards would eat my face," sobs woman who voted for the leopards eating people's faces party. Yeah, so you get what you vote for, apparently. So some of those people who voted for the leopards eating people's faces party are now regretting that. There's the Trump voter whose husband was laid off and is struggling to find work in Trump's economy, who recently tweeted, "My husband was laid off last month and struggling to find work with just one unpromising interview. Just 2 years ago, he was flooded with multiple job offers within days, and he chose the best." 2 years ago. What was going on 2 years ago? Who was in charge 2 years ago? Who was overseeing the economy 2 years ago? Who was setting up perhaps the best economy this nation has ever seen 2 years ago before Donald Trump came in and, well, crashed it? That same woman said, "We voted for Trump to avoid this economic downturn, but it's hitting us hard." Then there's the Trump supporter with autism who regrets their vote after hearing RFK Jr. wants to start a national registry for people with autism. That Trump supporter said, "I think I regret voting for Trump. I'm the only autistic Trump supporter, and now I hear one of the people Trump hired is making a effing national autistic person registry. I probably just voted myself into a Nazi regime." Well, yep. Then there's the Trump supporter who's angry about Trump's student loan debt policies, said, "I do support President Trump. Please listen carefully. The student loan debt you are going after put my daughter in tears. Her credit score dropped, and she voted for you. Sir, she doesn't have a job and still lives at home. Where is my stimulus check? Don't abandon us now." Well, yeah, I guess you should have thought of that back in November, eh? Then there's the MAGA supporter who is begging Trump not to deport his wife. He tweets, "I voted for you and I still support you." And all so many of these people, "I still support you. You have taken away everything I've ever known in my life. But, sir, I still like you very much. Anyway, "I voted for you and I still support you. But my wife came here legally through teacher exchange programs. We got married, and right after we tried to get a lawyer for her to become a citizen, she got an email today saying she might lose her job. I understand you're trying to make America great again, which is awesome, but her losing her job and getting sent back when I'm trying to make her a citizen after marriage, $10,000 for the paperwork. Please don't punish people that are trying to come here legally." Yeah, well, sorry.
Yeah, too late for Charlie. That.
He says, "I voted for you, and I think you're a great man, but I'm getting affected. But I'm getting affected." He's now personally affected, so now it's a problem, isn't it? He says, "If you could not send my wife back to her country, she was trying to do the right thing. I respect you, but we barely get a notice. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just don't want my wife to go back." Well, I don't blame you, sir. Maybe y'all should have thought about that in November. Then there's the MAGA voter who was laid off from their job due to Trump cuts. "Dear Mr. President," this person wrote on Twitter, "I worked for a medical center up until yesterday when I was laid off due to the Medicaid cuts that you made. And not just me, but many hardworking patriots who voted for you twice, like me." There's the recently fired Trump voter, fired due to Doge cuts, who says, "But they won't be complaining. Today I joined the ranks of the unemployed as a result of Doge cuts. I support the cause, so I won't be complaining. But if anybody wants to subscribe on X, I would be grateful as I look for my next job." Did I vote for the wrong guy? One person asks. My dad's boss and best friend, he owns a medical device company. My dad's job has always been to fly to fly internationally to find manufacturers. All their products are currently made in Taiwan or China. My dad had been warning him about tariffs the entire election cycle. He pretty much ignored that and focused on the immigration issue. He immigrated to the U.S., but he did it the, quote, right way, so he found illegal immigrants personally offensive. A few weeks ago, my dad was coming home and calls me and says, well, we just got off an analysis call about how much we will need to increase prices. And the boss says, did I vote for the wrong guy? And my dad just told him, yes, I've been saying this for months. So Americans are getting the message, it seems. I mean, Donald Trump still has his supporters out there, a sizable chunk. Even when Donald Trump gets a 39% approval rating, that means there's a whole bunch of people who are still out there disapproving of him. But they'll get the message. They'll learn, I think, I hope. Because I see no reason that things are going to get better from here on out, seems to me. They're just going to keep getting worse. But we'll see as we approach the 100-day landmark. All right, we got to get out. Sorry again to everyone who was holding for all that time when the phones completely crashed. You know, that's what happens around here. My apologies for that. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board op, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me an email on bradcast@bradblog.com and on all the social medias, but especially Blue Sky, I am the Brad Blog. Please follow me there. We'll see you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.